Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Verse number 1, you're familiar with this passage of Scripture. And we'll try to get through this the best that we can. Luke chapter 19. The Bible said, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Amen. The Lord help me here tonight. I want to take my text. Notice what the Bible said in verses number 4. It said, "And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him." He climbed up to see him. In verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. If the Lord will help me tonight for just a little while, and I hope you'll pray for me. I'm really nervous tonight for some reason. I want to preach to you tonight on the view that brings His visitation. The view that brings His visitation. In looking at this passage of Scripture, this man that's standing before us named Zacchaeus has been preached about and talked about, and it's not my intention tonight to tell you something you don't know about him. Except there's a few words that the Bible gives us as description that Luke describes about him, that he tells us simply that his name was Zacchaeus. And that may not mean much to some people, but his name, when you look it up and you find out what his name meant, it meant just and pure and clean. But in view of what Luke said about him, that he was a chief among the publicans and he was rich, this was completely contrary to what he was called to be. Amen. He had a different call on his life than the way things had turned out. I feel like that whoever his parents, that whenever they named him, for whatever reason that they named him, that they visualized a different path for him than the one that he had taken. The road that he had taken as a publican was that of a tax collector. He was not just a tax collector. He was the chief of tax collectors, which means that he had moved up in the ranks and he had become very rich from his trade. And those that became rich from tax collecting were thieves. Just help me just a few minutes here. I'm gonna try to lay something out. What little bit that I can here, what I can see about this. But I feel as though in this, that Zacchaeus, the path that he had taken, that it had left him in a position that his path behind him was littered with a trail of past relationships. And that at this point in time, he really had nobody to look to. Nobody to depend on. He had his riches. And he had his possessions. But what were they in the face of a man that was alone and really didn't have anybody else? I mean, money is great if you need it. But it does nothing. It cannot carry on conversation with you. It can't befriend you. And there are a lot of people that go to the point that they allow jobs and they allow us the social life and situations in life to carry them from among friends to a life that leaves them friendless, to where they are utterly abandoned and left entirely alone. Come on now. I've got to try to hurry up and tell you something here. But rumor had it, and we can read this in the Scripture. I ain't got time to go through and do a lot of reading. I want to try to get to my message here. That Jesus became known as being a friend of the sinner and the publican. And so then we find that Zacchaeus, and this is all, and I feel like at this, Brother Jerry, that he had gotten very discontent. That while he had opportunity before him of everything that this world possessed, there was no problem with his possessions. But his problem was he didn't have anybody to turn to when things got tough. It is my feeling this man was unmarried. This man didn't have any family that cared anything about him. In his rise to the top, he had stepped on others to get to the position that he was in. But now, after he had gotten there, it was not really what he thought it would be. How many has been the people that when they started out, they may have had the purest of intentions, but when they finally got to where they were going, they were left disappointed and alone because it didn't turn out like they thought it would. It's turned out to be totally different. Things are completely changed. One man said it's lonely at the top. You may have riches, but that's about all you got. You may have this possession and that possession. But can I tell you, this man began after he heard the word that Jesus was a friend of publicans. That he thought that perhaps somewhere, that if he was a friend of other publicans, then perhaps there is a chance I could strike up a relationship and finally end these years of misery, that I could finally put a stop to the bleeding that's been going on in my soul. I hope you'll help me while I try to preach tonight. And so the Bible said here in verse number 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He said, I've got to find out a little bit more. Because see, he knew the character and the nature of a publican. He knew everything about them. And if this man, he knew that in order for anybody to be a friend of the publican, he had to overlook the externals. He had to look past everything that had ever transpired in their lives. You see, it was not easy to be a friend to a thief. But for Jesus, it seemed to come natural. All we have to do is take a trip to the cross and find the thief that was hanging. While one reviled him, the other spoke kindly to him and said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. I'm telling you that Jesus certainly loves the sinner man. He certainly loves the publican. And before he ever laid eyes on Zacchaeus, he was in love with Zacchaeus. He had a concern for him and wanted to put an end to everything that had gone wrong in his life. And while there are those that would gaze upon this portrait and stare into it and say, what more can he want? But I want to tell you, money, come on, his success cannot buy friendship. But I'll
tell you one thing. Jesus is willing to put everything behind us and become our best friend, even in this hour of great distress and despair. Amen. He made up his mind. I've got to find out something. There is something about him that's not adding up. How can a man of our character strike up a relationship with a man of his character? He had walked the streets of Jericho. He had perhaps at time past heard the rumors of healings and heard the stories of those that were delivered. This man went about doing good. How in the world can good ever come into a relationship with evil? How in the world can the good and the bad ever link up? Whoever formed anything before us is the picture of the story of how God loves the sinner and is willing to go as far as necessary to prove his love for every one of them, and willing to jeopardize his own reputation in order to rescue this man from the loneliness in his life. I feel like preaching right here. If I knew what I was preaching about, I might do better. But I'm preaching into thin air. I have no idea what I'm really preaching about. But you see, he sought to see Jesus. But in his attempt and his search for companionship and friendship, that it always ended in the same sad story. This one looked like it was on the same path to the same ending. Are you helping me here? He could not get close to Jesus because of the press. This word press, we know that it simply means the crowd or the people. But we also realize that in our own lives, the very reason why we never get that view and that glimpse that we really need, that may completely change our mind, is because of the people that we're surrounded with. It's because of those that are around us, those that have taken their place in our life and have crowded us out. We're so busy. There's so much going on. And there's no way in the world that you could ever find a way to get to Him. I pray tonight that the Lord will have His way in this service. And He was here. That this man, when he could not come close because he was of little stature, he was a short man. We know that. You've heard this preached time and time again about how short Zacchaeus was. But I want to tell you, he may have been short in stature, but he was not short in faith. And whenever you get as lonely as this man was, you'll do whatever is necessary to find that friend in your life. Hear me tonight. I feel like somebody in this service tonight has made their appearance in this service in a miserable state. They are friendless and alone. They have searched every avenue. Always ended in the same result. They've suffered rejection. They've been put down. Are you hearing me tonight? But I want to tell you about a man that made up his mind that a view of Jesus would be worthwhile. You see, he was going to evaluate whether he could trust Jesus. But he did not realize that Jesus had already evaluated him and said, I'm going to trust Zacchaeus. I'm going to do something with Zacchaeus that nobody else wants to do. It became the ridicule of the day. It was the day that it almost caused confusion, because with everybody present, he could have went any direction. But Jesus chose to go with Zacchaeus. He knew he had to rescue him. But I also want to tell you this. The Bible said in verse 4, and he ran before. He climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. This lets us know something more about Zacchaeus, that while he may have been alone and abandoned and rejected and without a friend, he knew something of the ways of the Lord. He knew something of His direction. Come on now. He was not completely ignorant. And I know there's some people, I've met people that don't have any idea how to pray and don't have any idea what they're supposed to do. It's been few and far in between. But even Zacchaeus knew the path that Jesus was going to take, so that he was able to push himself to the forefront and get ahead of everything just to get the best seat, and so that he himself, everybody else had got their glimpse, they got their picture, they had the photograph to tuck away in their memory for eternity. But Zacchaeus was longing for the day when he'd finally get a chance. And so I feel like tonight I'm preaching to somebody that knows a little bit about the way of the Lord. You're not completely blind to it. In fact, you know how to run on before. You almost know the routine. This lets me know that he had seen the crowd pass before. He knew the street that the Lord normally took. So it wasn't hard for him to figure out. You noticed he didn't take a wrong turn and get on the wrong street. He got to the place exactly where Jesus was to be passing. And you see, you're here tonight not by coincidence or on an accident, but you're here because you knew this is where Jesus would be passing. You knew He was coming your way. You knew He'd come down your road. And so you lodged yourself in a perch out of reach and out of touch. All I want is a glimpse just to make sure. I just want another picture just to make certain. I've got to take some time. I can't make a rash decision. I don't want in the crowd. I'm not going to Jerusalem. I don't want among the multitude. I don't really want to go that way. But if I can get a picture, then certainly I can make up my mind at a later date. But I want to tell you, the view that he got of Jesus was so overwhelming, and the view that Jesus got of Zacchaeus, that it made up his mind without delay. It was not going to take a week and another return of Jesus, amen, for him to make up his mind. All that it was going to take, hallelujah, was to look down and walk a man that Zacchaeus has totally abandoned the rest of his preconceived plans and came down and visited with Jesus. I've got to hurry. You see, there's a lot of folks. They know enough. They know enough to understand a little bit about the Lord. They know enough to know how He moves, where He walks, how He responds. But yet, they themselves are not willing for that commitment when they first climb that tree. You see, you say, but preacher, that doesn't make any sense. Sure it does. Because he could have just ran ahead and stood in the street. But he was not interested in a relationship at this point in time. All he was interested was a view. I just want to look at it one more time. I want to flip through the picture album of my soul and recall just how it's been. I just want enough to soothe my conscience and remind me of what I still believe and what I still hold to be true. Are you hearing me? Now, I'm really feeling more like preaching tonight than I probably even look. But you see, that's where a lot of folks are. They could have ran to the street and stopped him on his journey, but they chose to get a little out of reach. I'm far enough away here. He'll run right under me. Come on now. You see, that's almost how they feel. Religion is almost beneath them. But yet there's something about them, about this religious experience that around causes passion in them, and it brings up a memory that they just cannot escape. Come on, it's still down here, and perhaps I can just slip in here, get a quick peek, enough to enlighten my dreams, enough to let me know there's still hope, and that's still Him. But I'm not going to get in the street. But I want to tell you something. Jesus saw you when you climbed the tree. Jesus saw you when you straddled the branch. Jesus sees you as He's walking by. In fact, He stops the procession. He stops the movement. He stops everything. And He looks up to the man that's sitting in a tree all by himself and says, "Come down right now. We're fixing to have a change at your house." You see, before you'll ever get anywhere, you've got to come down. I don't know why pride, but I guess the Scripture tells us about those things, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. And I've wondered and wondered. We've preached message after message, Brother Bailey, on the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. But the pride of life is almost gone unnoticed because people are not willing. They've lifted themselves up to the point, you see, that was his. He felt like he was self-sufficient. He didn't need Jesus. He tried to convince himself he really did not need Jesus. I'm trying to tell you something tonight. I don't want to get boring here. He really didn't have to have this. But it would be good just to get a picture of it. Just in case he ever did. He was self-sufficient, doing well on his own. That's why he was able to climb up and sit by himself. If this position was the best position to see Jesus, there'd have been others in that tree long before he got there. Are you helping me here? But he was all on his own. If this works out, fine. If it don't, I've still got my career. I've still got this. I can always fall back on that. But I want to tell you something. There comes a day when the crutches are removed and your injured soul is left hanging out there all by itself. And it's not God's will that you should perish in your condition. But He wants to bring you to a place where you repent. I said, the Lord said, you've got to come down. I said, you've got to come down. You can't always be full of pride and lift it up if you're going to be in a relationship with the Lord God of heaven. Then you're going to have to swallow that pride that has covered your heart like a blanket, that has concealed it from the view of everybody in this building. But tonight, friend, you need Jesus more than you need anything else in your life. I've got to hurry, but I don't need to take my time. He needed a friend, Brother Tony. He was to pass that way. In verse 5, just as he predicted, just as he planned, just as he expected, and when Jesus came to the place, this was the only prediction he got right. He came to that place. But once he got there, that's where everything changed. I wish I could preach. Hallelujah. And when Jesus came to the place, he can see the crowd approaching. He knows it's him. He's already got a picture of him. Seems to be a friendly guy. Oh, come on now. Everybody's thronging to him. Must be well liked. Everything's okay. But when Jesus came to that place, And there is a place, Brother Jerry, where man and God must meet. There is a place. You may have thought you would just brush it off and it would just go on by and you'd make a determination for later. But can I tell you, Jesus calls you to the point and He looks up at you and He sees you and He says, right now is the time. We're going to start the transformation process right now. It's just not going to wait till a later date. You need Him right now. I'm trying to help you here tonight. He said, make haste. Get in a hurry. It's time to come down. For today, I must abide at thy house. That probably, I don't know, it may not mean anything to anybody here tonight. But when He said today, I pondered this. How long had it been since Zacchaeus had had a visitor? How long had it been since he'd sat down across the table and had somebody to tell him just how he really felt down on the inside? And for a man that was miserable, broken, in a desperate situation, I know you're not shouting. I really don't think we ought to shout right now. But I'm going to try to get a hold of somebody right here tonight. God laid this on my heart today, just as plain. I didn't look through my sermon books, but God just got to dealing with me. As Zacchaeus was coming to church tonight, his name meant pure. Come on, I said his name meant pure and just and clean. But his appearance and the description of the crowd was everything but what he should have been. And tonight you've come here different than what you ought to be. You've come here tonight, everything about you says you've not measured up to what you should have been, what you were called to be. What can I tell you, tonight is the night that God is going to make His attempt to put you back on the right track, to completely turn you back around, to get you in the right direction. You helping me here? I got to try to tell you something. He said today, for today, not tomorrow, not next week. I'm coming and I'm going to see you. There's no restraint. There's no time to wait. I'm going to come and see Zacchaeus just as he is. Come on now. If there's more time, you can cover some things up. But now, you're going to be revealed for just what you are. And he made haste and come down. I really feel like Brother Bailey, he was trembling. He was joyful. He was glad that in all that multitude, we're not going anyplace else. Zacchaeus, today, I'm going home with you. Today is the day where you're alone in the sins. Today is today when you have the friend that you have not had for a mighty long time. I'm trying to help you here. Today is the day where you find that something that's been missing in your life. Money couldn't do it. Come on now. Drugs can't do it. Alcohol can't do it. All this other cannot do it. Zacchaeus, you're about to find the missing part of your life. And it is the friend called Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm telling you, is anybody, can you relate to what I'm preaching tonight? Have you been there as that desolate, rejected, abandoned, and alone person? Then I'll tell you tonight, Jesus is walking your way. You knew He was coming. I said you knew He was coming. He knows He's coming. But today, He's got plans to turn your life around. That was a view. It all started with a view. It all started with, I just want to take a peek. I just want to see what's going on. It all started, I just want to look around a little bit. But in that time that he was looking, everything in his life was about to be revealed. And he was going to be changed forever because of the presence of the Lord. The crowd was amazed. You mean him? They'd all come with their gifts. They'd come with their presence. They'd come with everything. My home would be better. I've been a member of the church for a long time. I was there in the synagogue. I was there when you performed this miracle. Wouldn't I be a better choice? No. Nobody needs Jesus like Zacchaeus needs him right now. And I'll tell you tonight, nobody needs Jesus in this service like you do. I said nobody needs him like you do. I got to tell you, there's somebody I'm preaching to you tonight. You're not here just because you thought it's a good idea. It was according to the divine will of Almighty God that today, for that friendless and helpless person that had everything the world had to offer, but did not have a friend, tonight is the night that Jesus is going to introduce himself as your first and your best and your longest lasting friend that will last from this day forward into eternity. He goes home with him. The crowd said, he went home with a man that's a sinner. He's a thief. What's he doing that for? He can't do anything. I'll tell you what he better do. He better take care of his purse. He better take care of his stuff. He'll have it. But they didn't know when Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house, it wasn't Jesus' purse you had to watch for. Because when he left there, Jesus had Zacchaeus' purse. And it wasn't by theft. It was by gift. Because he gave everything back. Are you helping me here tonight? I'm trying to tell you something. They got to Zacchaeus' house. And Zacchaeus was so under conviction that he stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord. Behold, Lord. Come on, it's a different conversation. He just wanted to see Jesus. But now he is Lord. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods. It was not a demand. He didn't tell him, give it all away. He said, I give half of my goods to the poor. And then comes the repentance. And if I have taken anything from any man but false accusation, I restore him fourfold. This word if does not mean whether he had done wrong, but it means to what extent he had done wrong. I wish some of our people would get this. As they go to the altar, as callous as they can be. Well, forgive me, Lord, if I've done anything wrong. And you know full well you've done something wrong. It's not an if about it. It's just a matter of to what extent you did it. Come on now. Are y'all helping me here? And it was there that he gave true repentance from his heart. Come on now. There was no doubt that Zacchaeus was guilty of wrongdoing. But right here, the Lord was willing to forgive him because Jesus said he didn't ask him for an itemized report. And I do not believe, I know there's some that preaches it. You've got to get down and ask him to forgive every sin you've ever committed one by one. But my God, all he said is that whatever I've done wrong, I want to make it right. And the Lord said, this day
today is salvation come to thy house. Hallelujah. This is the reason I came to Jericho. And I feel like he's saying the reason I'm in Flatwoods tonight is to seek and to save that which is lost.
What started as a view turned into a visitation and progressed into victory. I feel the Holy Ghost right here stirring. Listen to me tonight. I'm going to quit right there with that. But I have never in my life felt so much compassion as I felt when I dropped to my knees this afternoon. I felt the Spirit of the Lord take hold of my soul and let me know for a brief moment, so I could preach to you tonight what it was like to be alone. And I feel like right here, there is a loneliness, but there is a longing. There's got to be somebody out there somewhere that'll take me, that'll be my friend. There's got to be somebody somewhere that won't look down on me. Zacchaeus had got to the place that in public, he was a spectacle. He was talked about. He was ridiculed. He always sat at a table by himself. Nobody was ever there. He had nobody he could call on in the midnight hour. There's got to be somebody. I'm going to tell you tonight, there is somebody. His name is not Evangelist Junior Skads. It's not Evangelist Tony Stidham. It's not Brother Jerry Kazee Jr. It's not Pastor Lloyd Bailey. But it's Jesus Christ. He come to realize that if I could find a friend, it's going to have to be an unconditional love. And I'll tell you what he found in Jesus Christ was that agape love. It was unconditional. It did not matter where he'd been, how far he'd gone, how much wrong he had done. Jesus said, today, this day, not tomorrow, but this day, I'm going to abide. I'm going to go stay. I'm not coming for a visit. I'm going to stay. I'm moving in. I'm going to be your companion. I'm going to be there. Whenever you need help, you can count on me. I know somebody thinks, hallelujah, right here, he's just throwing this at me. I had this little text and two post-it notepads, sheets, that I laid on that desk over there today. And God said, if they came for the view, but tell them I came for the visit. My God. And it'll be the only thing that'll get you over the top. Because after a day with Jesus, Zacchaeus doesn't hang his head when he walks out of the house with his sacks of money in his hand. He's taking them over here. I've done you wrong. Please forgive me. And he gives back there. And he goes to another. Please forgive me. And everybody notices something's happening with Zacchaeus. I'll tell you what happened. It's the difference one friend can make in a person's life. You get under the right influence and it'll change everything about you. Hey, are you hearing me tonight? Somebody
in this service really needs Jesus.
I'm just looking. I just want to look. I don't want to do anything else. I just want to look. And while you're looking at Him, He's looking at you. And He sees past those eyelashes and the eyelids. He goes that deep, looks past the pupil, and runs down that tunnel that leads to your heart. It says there's nothing in there. You're as miserable as you can be. You're having a hard time even getting along. Are you hearing me tonight? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here. But somewhere down in your soul, you're saying, if I only had somebody to talk to, nobody understands me. I've been down this road. I've tried everything in the world. But I want to tell you tonight, Jesus is making His way up the road. And it's going to be the day when everything can change in your life. Anybody hearing me tonight? You don't have to leave here lonely. You don't have to leave here friendless. And you don't have to leave here lost.
Come down. Can you see the picture? Jesus stops. Zacchaeus is sitting there. He looks up at him. Zacchaeus. He doesn't say, how'd you know my name? He'd always known His name. And He knew He was meant for more than being a thief and a sinner. Zacchaeus, come down. I feel like His tears swelled up with tears and were trickling down His cheeks as He turned and scaled down that sycamore tree and stood as Jesus looked down at him. And He looked up at Jesus and said, today, this day, right now, we're going to your house. What about the crowd? They can wait. I just feel like you need somebody to talk to. Come on now. And I don't know, Brother Jerry, but what he didn't put his arm around Zacchaeus and let him down that road. Zacchaeus, for the first time in a long time, felt affection. And he felt a love he had never felt before in a man that he thought was a stranger. But he felt like he'd known him for years. As God was going to make everything right. Right here in this service, I'm trying to tell somebody right here tonight. I don't know why I keep preaching this to you, but somebody here in this service needs to hear me again. It takes more than a view. But that view is going to get you a visit with Jesus. Come down. Come down. Come on. You say, but I don't really want to go this route. You wouldn't have come if you hadn't considered it. If it hadn't already been on your mind, you'd have never walked through those doors. And while Zacchaeus wanted a view, but at a distance, if he hadn't really wanted it, he'd have never ran ahead and got in that tree. You'd have never dressed yourself, walked through the doors of this tabernacle, if somewhere in your soul you wasn't already thinking about it.
I've probably told it before, but I like it. About Lady Ann Erskine, I'm sure I've told you. She was riding through London Park one day. Roland Hill the Evangelist was on, had an outdoor pulpit set up. And she saw him preaching. She inquired to the driver and said, "Who's that man over there?" "Well, that's Roland Hill, that powerful evangelist." And she said, "I've heard so much about him. Take me up as close as you can. I just want to get a look and see what he's got to say." He worked his way up as close as he could in that carriage. And in the moment that she got close to the stage, Roland Hill turned his attention to Lady Ann Erskine and says, "I have today in my hand a soul that's up for auction. It is the soul of Lady Ann Erskine." He had just been reading the text, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" He said, "On the auction block today is the soul of Lady Ann Erskine." Is there anybody here that would like to place a bid for the soul of Lady Ann Erskine? There was a long pause. Then he said, "Yes, I hear the voice of the devil placing a bid." He said, "I'll give riches and pleasure and even all the world for the soul of Lady Ann Erskine." The preacher spoke up again. And he said, "The devil's give his bid. Is there another that would like to place a bid on this soul?" And in just a few moments, the Spirit of the Lord spoke and said, "I'll give joy and peace and everlasting life, a love beyond measure for the soul of Lady Ann Erskine." I feel the Holy Ghost sweeping through this building right now, reaching for somebody right here tonight. There was another pause, and the preacher said, "Lady Ann Erskine, the bids are in. But I'm not choosing the high bidder. The choice is left up to you. Is it the world or is it eternity? Which is it going to be?" And Lady Ann Erskine throwed open the door of that carriage and said, "I'll take Jesus," and made her way to the altar and said, "I'll take Jesus." You see, what he done that day is he gave up the world in exchange for Jesus. And if Zacchaeus done it, I'm telling you, it was a worthwhile trade. Money is with the grave, but Jesus will last forever. I'll tell you tonight, friend, God is calling your name. He's got you in mind. What about it? Why don't you come down and let's go home today? My wife comes. I've preached my best to you tonight. Preached my heart. And I'm stirred. Would you look? Take time to look. Jesus is passing by. Come on, church, let's get our minds upon the Lord. I said, Jesus is passing by. And He stopped where you were perched. I didn't allow your look to go without notice. Because He saw more than the direction of your eyes. He saw the condition of your heart. He said, I want to make a change. I want to make a change. I'm preaching to somebody here tonight as the church is praying. My wife begins to play softly. I'm not preaching to somebody that doesn't know. I'm preaching to somebody that has rehearsed His ways and knows all about it. You knew how it was going to be. And you're here tonight. It's not a coincidence. It's really what you wanted. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Let's pray. Let's come. Let's come. Won't you come? Would you come? Come. You're tired of that miserable, lonely feeling. Something's been missing in your life for a long time. Why don't you come? This altar's open. We're not going any farther. We're waiting for you to come down. Because today, He's going to abide at your house. He just wants to be your friend. Let's come tonight. I believe if I had any questions at all in my heart, I'd be out of my pew. Making my way to this altar. Get somebody. Bring them down. Because you need Jesus. She plays. Let's stand all over the building. I hold in my hand tonight your soul. Why don't you come? Let's come. This altar's open. Let's find a place to pray. Come on. Let's come. Come on, church. Perhaps at your approach, somebody else will make theirs. Let's come tonight. Let's find a place to pray. Come on. Let's pray.